Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode.
All right, so today we're a little different. So at the laundromat, we're doing 7 loads of laundry in one day. Because our family's coming, giving. We have to crank out 7 or 8 loads of laundry like today, right? So at the laundromat, we got all these machines running. And you're going from there. And I got a handshake agreement with the folks that want to sell their 2 club suites. Well, so I'm waiting for the seller of club number 2 to send back the signed purchase agreement. And so that'll be good to go. Working with the sellers on studios number 3 and 4, that one will just take a little bit longer. It's a little funny. They both are 50-50 owners in the 2 studios. So it's not like one person owns one owns the other, but they both are 50-50 on both. So that's it's going to be a little bit more. It's kind of like the last transaction. There's going to be 2 people on all the emails, 2 people on DocuSign, 2 people part of the Zoom calls. So just a little more headache than just simple one person, which is fine. We'll get that going. But I'm realizing, okay, as I grow this and I dive into this business career, I need to have a system, a simple copy and paste process, because this is not the last time I'm buying a business. I'll be doing this for the rest of my life. This is way too much fun. And it's the deal making, the deal buying, and then rolling it up under the umbrella. And so what I'm doing right now is this, in the laundromat on their cheap Wi-Fi on the old school benches from the 70s with beat up cracked floors. I'm making a Dropbox folder hard art. So literally, and I'm looking at my screen. All right. So I'm making a folder and it's going to be my draft. It's going to be my template folder. And every time I talk to a business owner moving forward, that's copy and paste of this folder. So starting is the folder of like the name of the company. So the business name and whatever. Instead of that, there are 5 folders. One is one for the NDA. One is for the letter of intent. One's for due diligence. And then one is for the final purchase agreement. And the final step 5 is the signing closing. So, and track with me, I'm going back to the top. Inside the NDA, there's going to be a Word document, PDF, and then another PDF. The Word document is the actual NDA we drafted and typed up together. The PDF is going to be one that I saved. And then the other one is going to be the mutually signed NDA. Going back to that letter of intent folder, so it's the business name and the letter of intent folder, there is 9 folders in it. And so I want to make it easy for the person to know exactly what I'm asking for, what they need to provide into that folder. So one is financial statements, like the 3 years of historical revenue and expenses. Then there's a tax returns folder. Since this is a gym, I want a member stats folder. How many are on monthly membership? How many are on an annual paid membership? What are the stats about the member, the demographic? I don't need their names, I don't need their contact info. I just want to know generally, did everyone pay on January 1st for 1 year contract? No, there's no revenue for the year. Is anyone on a monthly membership? Some folks have like crossover memberships to other studios. They get a half-off discount for being a joint member. Then there's another folder, employee stats. Do they have a general manager, shift lead, a head instructor? I don't need to know their pay rates yet, but I need to know like what the hierarchy structure is. Then there's an operational procedure. Do they have a process for ordering merchandise, hiring, for putting out ads on Facebook? I need to know that they've got those in place, or do I have to make those up? So that's going to be part of the offer letter. And then lease agreements. How long is the lease for? How much they pay? Are there step-ups in monthly rent each year? Is it good for 2 more years? 10 years? I don't know the lease. Customer reviews and feedback. Are they on Google? Yelp? OpenTable, if they're a restaurant? Google, Facebook, Instagram? All these different feedbacks. I need to see screenshots of what people think. And then finally, number 8, the reason for the sale. This is kind of an annoying one to answer, but everyone asks, why are they selling? Why are you buying? And they need to have an answer in their words. Once I get all those 8 folders, I can now put together a solid letter. And if I don't know why they're selling, if I can't nail down their lease situation, if I don't know they have any employees whatsoever and have to hire 20 people day one, I can't put together a good letter of intent to buy it and put a good valuation. And so that all puts together into my letter of intent. Zooming back on those main five folders of sections, there's a due diligence section. This one gets a little more granular. This one, I want to see 3 months of statements. So I want to see what the actual true expenses are per. I also want to have an equipment inventory. So it's a gym. They've got bands. They've got bags, computers, a body scan, a printer. How many supplements do they have? T-shirts, shaker bottles. I don't know their equipment inventory, because that's going to be part of the value of the book value. I need to also know their legal and compliance stock. Do they have any outstanding OSHA violation? Is someone suing them for a hazard or a gym injury? Is there a claim against someone in the park? I need to know they're in a legally good spot during due diligence. I can make an offer before knowing if they're under a wall street. Marketing and materials and strategy. Do they go to parades? Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, text messaging, emailing? Do they do phone calls? How do they chase people and promote themselves so that they have a good marketing system? And is that a system that I can get on board with or that I can amplify down the road? I also know their vendor contract and supplier contract. This one's a little interesting. For the first gym that I bought, there are probably 30 or 40 software subscriptions. And the one that I apparently had every pretty well set. So here I want to know, what are their obligations? Do they have any outstanding payments to a supplements company? Are they 90 days late on a t-shirt order and payments? So I want to know, like, who are they paying for the monthly wear, as well as any of their tangible vendors and contracts. Even if they're not someone they actively use, who are their go-to people? Insurance policies. I got to know that they're currently covered, both for general liability, hazard insurance, and any other issues, so that this is an insurable business. I don't want to buy a business that I'm not able to get insurance. So I need to have proof of insurance off, and that's up to date. And then I could take over or get mail. This one's not as applicable, but capital expenditure record. So like the studio I'm in now, first one, that one has an annual leaky roof. Every winter in Minnesota, we get a lot of snow on the roof. And due to a placement on the AC box on the roof, it's on the low spot on a dip. So whenever the snow melts, there's a little bit of a water drip coming in. So it's an annual capital expense that has been fixed. It can either be an annual cost of like $1,000, or it can pony up like 10 or 15 grand to make it a permanent. So something like that is going to be important. Since we're a tenant in a commercial space for all of these, it's not going to be as crucial, but it's good to know what are some of these big expenses that are incurred that I need to start saving up for, or that are going to be due and cannot wait. Kind of a great example for a capital space for service-based business, there's not going to be a whole lot of over required. It's more so the monthly maintenance. Between salaries and rent, it's going to eat up about 60 to 70% expense. There's not really a whole lot of capital expenses, like if we were needing the bags or we were manufacturing them. And then finally, this one's a little bit more fun. The current business plan and for these sellers, they've owned this business years. So they, at this point, they may not have a solid, it could go either way. They may have a solid business plan and they had this thing for a while because they have a business plan, or it could be they're so used to it and it's so intuitive to not have a verbal down business plan. So I want to see how they view the business, what's their playbook, and you know, when I buy this, take it over, is this a playbook that I can use? Is this out of my wheelhouse, or is this something that I should execute and enhance along the way? Once I have all of that together, and I know I'll go through those folders again, equipment, the tangible assets, their legal and compliance situation, the marketing materials strategy, vendor and supplier contracts, insurance policies, CapEx records or capital expenditures, business plan and forecasts, then I know, okay, this is the granulars, and I need to know, I'm going to put that in right here as well. No, I'll put in the last one, 3 months of basic. I need to know that everything is matching up to what they're for the due diligence. On paper, it can look great, but I got to dive in, get really granular and be like a mole. Dig in through the business, trying to, I have to have proof them wrong by trying to clarify firm any assumptions or statements they made. Finally, once those due diligence look great, we now get to purchasing. The purchase agreement, this is where we write it all. I guess, I'm not a business broker. I guess there's a few ways you could do this. Now I'll probably simplify it. I'm going to add the purchase agreement. You know what? I can do the purchase agreement. In this case, I don't need to see an insurance policy to get into a purchase agreement. But the other items I'm going to need in the due diligence after purchasing. Definitely consult a broker, attorney, CPA. I'm not any of those, so do not hold me to it. Our financial advice, risk advice. But that's my... Once you have the purchase agreement, we go through that due diligence period. It's now all going to be contingent on bank finance. I'm not a cash buyer. I'm not going to write a check and own everything day one. I'm going to be using a lender and probably some seller finance. And so that'll be part of the letter of intent, say I intend to buy it for $500,000 or $1 million or whatever. And I plan to use this much for bank financing. I'll be asking the seller to paper. Here's what I'll be doing for down payment. Here's my earnest money on all of this. And then it's kind of weird, but like you instantly assume that you're moving to closing date. Kind of like when you buy a house, day one, when you submit an offer, you schedule when you're going to close up. And that helps so that the deal doesn't drag on for months. The first gym, that deal took like 3 months. That's pretty quick. And here we want something very similar as well. The sellers, I told them in meeting with them that I'd probably be like 8-9 months out from today because I have another studio in the hopper. So if I close on that in 3 or 4 months, I'd already need another 3 or 4 months to close on studio number 3, 4. And since these two studios, studio one was from a seller combo, we'll just call them A and B. When I bought studio from A and B, at that same time, A and B also sold off one of their studios and partner A cashed out partner B. So partner B is now in retirement. He's all good to go. He's got freed. He has no stake in these businesses. Now I'm technically buying studio number two from seller letter. So it's not just like a one-on-one. So it's pretty easy transaction. In this case, for studios 3 and 4, we haven't talked about how we'll do it. We'll either do studio 3 from both sellers, and then we'll do studio 4 from both sellers, since it'll be the same kind of expansion strategy, and it's the same sellers, they're not changing, and they're very good. They've been friends for a lot of years, so I'm sure they're amicable, they're great. I think we may just buy studio 3 and 4 at the same time, in one foul swoop. It's still an expansion. I don't know. We'll have to do some contingencies on bank group. But that's where we're at. So that's how I'm structuring my whole flow. So I'm making this copy and paste folder hierarchy. So as soon as someone says, hey, I want to sell, I'll say, great, I'm interested. Here's how we're going to start. I'll send you the list of folders. Inside each folder, this will be a half-page Word document. The Word document describes what's needed for that respective folder. So when I say like financial information, that means 3 years of monthly revenue and expenses with a profit and loss. That's going to mean 3 years of tax returns. So I can see like what you told the government you made and pay taxes on, because that's your best source of truth. And it's just a quick little blurb so that when I send this over, they instantly know what they need to do day one and they can run. So that's where we're at. And I want to systemize business acquisition so that as I'm doing 3 and 4, I can involve a broker on a need only basis and not pay them a 10% commission on the whole transaction. The first deal was 500 grand. I'm guessing you needed 50 grand on it. The second deal is going to be about 580. So he'll make another 60 grand on that deal. And if I can pay like a broker per hour and pay them like 10 grand to 20 grand just to review docs or whatnot, then we'll sell one time. And then the broker is able to be a part of my team and not part of the transactions. And so their interest is liable. That's the current process. That's where we're at. That's what I'm building up today. And by having something like this, next time my final platinum will finish, by having something like this, next time when I'm talking to a seller, I can straight up say like, hey, I'm a normal dude, not private equity. I'm not going to slip this and hold, preserve and maintain, continue the legacy to the next level so that everyone gets a bump in fear, a bump in values, and the staff get a bump in, and we'll get more members part of this great business. Here's one way I'm going to be different than your Main Street normal everyday buyer. I've done this before. Here's my system so that it's easy to work with me, and I'm not going to, you know what to expect each step of the way. If we handshake and agree, send you my onboarding files, it will be very simple to continue with that agreement. If you like it, great. If not, it's totally fine. You can go with someone, but they get that formal experience so that it's safe, it's predictable, folks know what they're doing. And that's what I can bring to the table and the help that I used to not be able to offer. And I want to add that as part of my buyer value proposition so that the seller doesn't have to worry about their experience or their members' experience. That's where we're at. Rock the hell.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.